Welcome to the May 2025 News Bulletin podcast for small craft and yacht marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from IIAMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague, often my monthly introduction column to this news bulletin is driven by the prevailing news at the time of writing and comments reaching my inbox. This month is no exception, only that in the past few weeks, there have been two far-reaching topics of conversation that have produced larger-than-normal reactions and much debate. The first is the UK government's exceptional call for evidence to decarbonise the UK's fleet of under 400 gross-ton vessels. I appreciate that IIAMS is an international organisation and our local wranglings in the UK may be of little interest to others in the world, but maybe this policy will reach other parts of the globe too. Also, I am conscious that the Institute is a non-political organisation, so I choose my words carefully. The UK government has launched a consultation which runs until the 25th of July 2025. More detailed information about the consultation follows my introduction. Already there have been loud voices of concern raised from various parts of the small boat sector, including the canal boat community, the fishing industry and charter sector amongst them, about the impracticalities of such new regulation. The ramifications could be huge, depending on the outcome of the consultation and the subsequent new regulation burden placed on the small boat market. On the 4th to the 5th of April, I had the pleasure of co-hosting the annual IIAMS Baltimore conference. The event drew a good face-to-face audience with a number of others joining online, including some new faces. Once again, I applaud the efforts of James Randy Wren, IIAMS Regional Director US, for organizing the event and attracting some great speakers to ensure its success. Over the two-day event, delegates heard, amongst other topics, about the latest developments with lithium-ion batteries, new thinking on slamming hull shapes, why report writing software is making inroads, a humorous look at photos taken on survey that defy the imagination, plus much more. The second matter, my visit to America coincided with the announcement by President Trump of the new global tariffs. This news became the hot topic of conversation at the event, unsurprisingly. The instant reaction to the news from delegates was not favorable or encouraging. I have since been asked by many what impact the tariffs might have on the shipping and boating industry and specifically on the marine surveying sector. In truth, I simply do not know at this stage any more than you do. And by the time you read this column, no doubt things will have changed and moved on again as this is a fluid situation. But I have scouted around world media for initial reactions of relevance, although at this stage it is mostly speculation of course, which you can read in our news bulletin at iiams.org.uk/news-bulletins. I'd like to close out by reminding you of two great hybrid events organised by IIAMS taking place during May. If you are at the heavy commercial end of marine surveying, you are invited to join us on the 13th of May for Marine Surveyors, P&I Clubs, and Loss Prevention, Collaboration for Safer Seas. Open to all, either in person or online, the event is being broadcast live from the UK P&I Clubs offices in central London. More info can be found on our website. Don't miss this one, and the following week on the 20th of May, we are hosting the Festival of Knowledge X live from Amsterdam for the EC Mid-AVI community. Join us to celebrate the 10th anniversary since we launched the EC MID accreditation scheme back in May 2015. Full details about the program can be found at ecmidvesselinspectors.com/events. Survey well, Mike Schwartz. For our first story of the month, the new maritime decarbonisation strategy sets out the government's aim for UK domestic maritime to achieve net zero fuel lifecycle greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. This will also deliver wider environmental benefits including for air quality, which will support the government missions to become a clean energy superpower. The strategy includes a commitment to introduce emission reduction measures for vessels below 400 gross tonnage and in targeted subsectors, recognising that some subsectors will be able to decarbonise more quickly than others. This call for evidence is intended to gather further evidence to inform policy making relating to this commitment and to ensure that government interventions are effective, proportionate, well-timed and meet emission reduction goals. We are seeking input from a wide range of stakeholders. Vessels below 400 gross tons are not captured by the other policy measures set out in the Maritime Decarbonisation Strategy, such as carbon pricing or fuel regulations, which will target larger vessels, initially those over 5,000 gross tons. However, it is essential the government takes action across the whole maritime sector to meet our goals, ensuring that action taken is proportionate, workable and effective for this diverse subsector of maritime. As set out in the strategy, policies are underpinned by Department for Transport Maritime Emissions Model. Data from automated identification systems transponders forms the basis of the model. A key challenge for the subsector is the relative lack of emissions data, as currently only vessels of 300 gross tons or above are required to have AIS transponders. This CFE will help plug this evidence gap to develop effective and impactful policies. The government welcomes the input and support of respondents, as the data provided for this CFE will assist the long-term development of the maritime emissions model. By providing much-needed evidence on subsectors and vessels that are currently underrepresented, the model will more accurately represent a comprehensive view of the sector, enabling us to continue developing effective and targeted policy measures. You can read the policy document and have your say by visiting the gov.uk website. Next, the National Marine Manufacturers Association, a trade association representing boat, marine engine and accessory manufacturers in North America, has released its monthly recreational boating industry data summary report, highlighting a significant 9.1% decline in new boat sales in North America. The report analyzes recreational boating powerboat unit sales and key economic indicators through December 2024. While these monthly NMMA reports cover a rolling 12-month period, this latest version for December offers a full look at the calendar year 2024, confirming estimates for retail and wholesale sales declines. Declining retail sales, from January to December 2024, new boat retail sales in North America fell by 9.1%, totaling 231,576 units, a significant year-over-year decline influenced by economic pressures and fluctuating consumer confidence. In our next story, the Superyacht Show Turkiye, scheduled for the 8th to the 12th of May 2025, is poised to position Turkiye as a leading hub for luxury yachting. Taking place in the picturesque setting of Gökçek, Fethiye, Muğla, this event aims to bring together key industry players while showcasing the country's growing influence in the international maritime sector. The mission of Superyacht Show Turkiye is to strengthen the maritime sector globally by introducing innovative and sustainable solutions. The show's vision is to become one of the world's most prestigious yachting events, serving as a hub for industry professionals, investors, and enthusiasts alike. Renowned as one of the most prestigious yachting destinations in the Mediterranean, Gökçek offers a perfect backdrop for this grand event. Its stunning bays, modern marinas, and high-end yachting services make it a prime location for showcasing Turkey's excellence in the maritime industry. Find out more at www.superyachtshowturkiye.com. Up next, since its formation 4 years ago, Italy's Marche Yachting and Cruising Association has consistently worked to promote and strengthen the region's large yachting sector on the Adriatic coast, with Ancona and Fano as key centers of activity. The MYCA recently continued this process with the holding of a gathering entitled Towards the Future Success for the Luxury Yachting Industry in the Marche region. The event brought together companies from the sector and institutions to discuss the prospects and needs of the industry, with the common goal of strengthening its competitiveness and promoting its growth. During the meeting, a research study conducted by the Polytechnic University of Marche was presented by Professors Valentina Giannini from the DII department and Sarah Corvaro from the DICEA department. The study provided an overview of the current state of the shipbuilding and yachting sector in the region. The data highlighted Italy's leadership in luxury yacht construction, showing a significant increase in both the number of employees and revenue. The entire supply chain employs over 10,000 people and has recorded strong growth in exports, particularly to the US and non-EU countries. Forecasts for the 2024-2026 period indicate a further 6% increase in turnover. A key issue raised was the need for adequate space for yacht construction, to avoid outsourcing, along with increasingly specialized training to ensure a qualified workforce. Solid infrastructure, efficient logistics, and the enhancement of the airport and transport networks are fundamental elements for the structured growth of the sector. In our next story, the Sri Lanka Export Development Board has taken a significant step towards fostering the growth of Sri Lanka's boat building and boating industry by taking initiatives to develop a comprehensive regulatory framework. This framework aims to enhance the sector's potential, driving it forward with greater international competitiveness. To ensure effective understanding and collaboration, the EDB organized awareness creation sessions for both public and private sector stakeholders, to aware them on the recent Gazette notification issued on the regulatory framework. Boat and shipbuilding is not only a rapidly emerging export sector but also a multi-million dollar industry with the potential to open new economic opportunities for Sri Lanka. With the nation's capacity to build and operate yachts for chartering and nautical activities, there is a unique opportunity to enhance the opportunities in nautical tourism industry by attracting foreign yachts and visitors to Sri Lankan waters. Activities like whale and dolphin watching, scuba diving, leisure fishing, and water sports provide rich experiences for tourists throughout the year, which will help to boost the tourism sector. However, for the industry to truly succeed, a well-established regulatory framework covering the entire value chain is necessary. Unfortunately, there has been a gap in regulating leisure craft operations and managing the registration of visiting yachts, posing challenges to the industry's growth. Therefore, recognizing the sector's potential and the importance of developing this sector, the government has allocated funds to establish a robust regulatory framework. In collaboration with the Line Ministry, the EDB worked with MS Lloyd's Register Asia to develop the necessary regulations. This included a series of individual consultations/workshops for the relevant public and private stakeholders in obtaining their views, inputs throughout the process to ensure development of a comprehensive and effective framework. After completing the necessary procedural steps, the Merchant Shipping Secretariat, under the Ministry of Ports and Shipping, has made arrangements to gazette the regulations under the Merchant Shipping Act, No. 52 of 1971. The gazette was officially issued on the 31st of December, 2024. Next, flares manufactured in 2021 or earlier expire this year, as Transport Canada approves them for only 4 years. They should be replaced every third or fourth boating season. To dispose of expired flares, do not light them, throw them overboard, or add them to household garbage. Flares are not permitted in regular trash or at household hazardous waste facilities due to their potential explosion and fire hazards. Flares are only for emergencies, and lighting them in non-distress situations, like decommissioning, is illegal. Marine flares contain toxic chemicals, which can pollute waterways and drinking water sources. In our next segment, the Association of Brokers and Yacht Agents and the British Marine Boat Retailers and Brokers Association have announced the launch of a new joint industry standard brokers contract to be known as the BRBA-ABYA Sales Purchase Agreement. This joint agreement marks a step toward improving clarity, consistency, and professionalism in yacht transactions. It provides a legally robust and practical framework designed to streamline sales processes while safeguarding the interests of brokers and their clients. Alistair Walton, chair of BRBA, calls the launch a major step forward for the brokerage industry. The contract will be reviewed annually to ensure it remains aligned with evolving industry practices and regulatory developments. ABYA and BRBA plan to continue addressing key industry challenges, including lobbying efforts on pooled client accounts, VAT evidence standardization, and resource sharing around Know Your Client protocols. The partnership also aims to establish a certified pathway for broker training, ensuring consistently high professional standards across the sector. The sales purchase agreement is now available for use, and both associations strongly encourage members to integrate it into their brokerage processes. Up next, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada has published the results into an investigation into the fire and sinking of fishing vessel Elite Navigator. On the 8th of July 2024, the Elite Navigator, with the master and six crew members on board, departed Valleyfield, Newfoundland and Labrador, to fish turbot. By the 17th of July, the vessel had caught its quota. At approximately 18:30, the master used a satellite messenger to notify the owner that they were on the way to port to land their catch and that their estimated arrival time was 14:30 on the 18th of July. At approximately 19:30, an alarm sounded in the wheelhouse. The master checked the alarm panel and determined that it was from a smoke detector in the engine room. The master looked at the video camera that monitored the engine room, but there was no smoke visible. The master then went to one of the engine room access hatches in the deckhouse and proceeded partway down a ladder into the engine room to check for smoke. Light smoke was now visible. Shortly after, a crew member in the deckhouse yelled that there was a fire in the exhaust trunking. Another crew member grabbed a dry powder fire extinguisher and tried to extinguish the fire through the interior doorway to the exhaust trunking. Meanwhile, the master returned to the wheelhouse and shut down the main engine. The master and one of the crew members then went outside on the main deck and pried the exhaust trunking vent off the back of the deckhouse to get access to the other side of the exhaust trunking. From here, they continued to try to fight the fire with another extinguisher. Attempts to fight the fire with the extinguishers were not successful, and the master told the crew to prepare to abandon ship. All 7 crew members managed to abandon ship and board one of the ship's life rafts. On the 19th of July, the Canadian Coast Guard rescued everyone and all 7 survived with only minor injuries. What caused the fire? The Elite Navigator was not recovered, so it was not possible to determine the exact cause of the fire. The fire was first identified in the exhaust trunking, which contained piping for the main engine and generator exhaust. You can read the investigation report in full at iamscanada.ca. For our next story, maritime law firms Hill Dickinson and Ali Maas have established a formal alliance to expand their global reach and provide clients with broader legal expertise in the superyacht sector. Hill Dickinson, headquartered in the UK, has a maritime law practice with over 120 specialists operating across key shipping hubs. Ali Maas, based in Florida, the US, has more than 30 years of experience in maritime law, advising clients on matters related to the purchase, sale and construction of recreational vessels worldwide. The alliance enables Ali Maas and its clients to access Hill Dickinson's superyacht and maritime expertise in the firm's offices in the UK, Monaco, Piraeus, Hong Kong and Singapore. In turn, Hill Dickinson gains reciprocal access to Ali Maas' expertise in the US, Cayman Islands, British Virgin Islands and Marshall Islands. The firms say the new alliance offers a comprehensive legal service for the superyacht sector, covering sale and purchase, new construction, finance, insurance, design, management, structuring, crewing, refit and charter. Next, a new bill passed by the Florida State Legislature seeks to introduce more severe penalties for individuals whose actions are found to have contributed to boating accidents resulting in death, serious injury or damage to property in the state's waters. Senate Bill 58, also known as the 2025 Florida Boat Accident Penalty Bill, provides increased criminal penalties for the reckless operation of a vessel that will cause serious bodily injury to another. SB 58 also revises the conditions that compose the offense of, and penalties for, boating under the influence, and revises the definition of the term vessel homicide to include the killing of an unborn child by causing injury to the mother by operation of a vessel in a reckless manner under certain circumstances. The bill was originally filed on November 11, 2024, and was passed into law on Wednesday, March 26. Florida State Senator Ileana Garcia had introduced the bill in response to boating accidents in Florida wherein the drivers or operators were impaired due to alcohol or drugs. And for our final story, the African Boating Conference, scheduled for the 21st to the 22nd of October this year at the V and the Waterfront in Cape Town, has confirmed additional speakers in its growing lineup. The 2-day conference will focus on the African region's recreational boating and superyacht industry and will bring together global marine experts, policymakers, marina developers, manufacturers, tourism stakeholders, and investors to explore Africa's growing marine economy and unlock the region's potential for industry expansion. 2 newly confirmed key speakers are Kevin M. Williams, Vice President of North American Marketing at the National Marine Manufacturers Association and Discover Boating, and Arturo Gutierrez, General Manager of Freedom Boat Club, Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Williams said, "The marine industry is confronting many of the same challenges faced by other sectors and must adapt its marketing and business strategies to engage today's consumers, especially younger, more diverse audiences, on their own terms. Bringing new boaters into the fold isn't just about boosting boat sales, it's about nurturing the entire ecosystem, from manufacturers and dealers to marinas, waterfront communities, and all the services that support the boating lifestyle." That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.